Thank you for that, Anna, and thank you for being here tonight. We are not changing the layout of the auditorium, okay? This is not going to be how it is. We have a wedding on Saturday, George and Joanna, and they want the middle aisle. We have practice after the service, and so we wanted to make sure we could have that. Everybody was coming in like, hey, what happened to my seat? Your seat's right there on the carpet. You should have just sat on the carpet. That would have worked just great. All right, we are in our discipleship book on Continue On. We previously looked at the spiritual armor that we wear, the armor of God. And that's very important because we are in a spiritual war. Today we're going to make it a little more specific over the next couple weeks about some of our enemies. We need the armor, as we looked at it extensively, to be protected from the onslaught of our enemies and to go on the offensive against them. Remember, we said we're not just in a hold-on mode. You know, let's just be protected so we don't get hurt. No, we want to be protected so we can go forward and take the enemy out and take ground back from him. By the way, it's real difficult for me tonight because of the chairs. People are sitting in spots where they don't normally sit. And I'm like, you know, like, what are you doing back there, Ambrise? You're supposed to be over here, and Raul, you sit over there. All right, can you guys switch? I am really confused. Believe it or not, I know where some of y'all sit, okay? I pay attention to that. And so I know that the crazy people are down in this area right here. And let me see. I won't call any more out. But anyhow, I'm really confused. I can't wait till Sunday we get back to normal. What were we talking about? The Bible, right. So we're in a war, and we have to, it's very important. We looked at the armor because we need to be prepared. We need to know what our weaponry is. We need to be protected so that the enemy doesn't, so we're not wounded by the enemy and hindered in the way that we fight our battle. And we have to have power, understanding that we can have all the weaponry, we can have all the protection, but without the power of the Lord, we're still going nowhere. So it's very important. So we focused on the protection and the power, and now let's look at another step. In the next two chapters, we're going to identify some of the enemies, who they are. We'll focus on three main enemies who typically inflict the most damage. Now, it's not just that simple. And you could probably tell who the enemies are. We'll go into more detail. But the enemies use a lot of different means, a lot of different weapons, and a lot of different strategies to get to us. But really, there's three key enemies. We have to know who they are. Warfare involves opposing sides, each with contrasting viewpoints, morals, and objectives. And there's a sinful part of this battle trying to get us into sin. But really, it starts with a philosophical mindset. And the enemy is trying to put on their enemies what their viewpoint is, their moral, and their objectives. Because the winner starts to impose all of those things on us. You go to a communist country, there's certain ideology they're going to impose on you. Okay? They're going to impose, communism imposes a godless ideology. You know, the only churches are going to be state churches, and they're going to have their thumb on them. They watch everything. And so if our enemy gets the victory, he's going to be able to change the way thoughts are and the way that people go out. Somebody has said that history is written by the winners, okay? And in a sense, Satan is trying to do that to us. In the spiritual realm, to be honest with you, in our world, the enemy has already taken much ground. Now, we know that that's worldwide, where the countries where the gospel isn't allowed or they fight it. And just in countries where the gospel is allowed, how it's being ruined by a false brand of Christianity. I just read a brand new stat the other day, and this boggles my mind, but in a sense it doesn't. They said that 80% of the pastors in America, 80%, 4 out of 5, do not have a biblical worldview. Now you say, what is that? That means they don't look at life through the lens of the Bible. They don't. They don't see the issues of our times through the truths of Scripture. They view it through, to be honest with you, if you're not viewing it through the truth of Scripture, you know what you're viewing it through? You're viewing it through what everybody else is viewing it through who's unsaved. Now, you probably don't keep your finger on the pulse. I do keep a little bit of it. Churches and pastors are endorsing transgenderism and the marriage thing at an alarming rate. Alarming rate. And I'm not talking about some universal church. You know, there are churches that don't believe the Bible, believe it or not. I was at a friend's wedding when I was in college. I was the best man. Figured if I'm the best man, why wasn't I marrying her? But anyhow. But I was the best man, and we were in this small little college town in the middle of nowhere, and it was 10 o'clock at night, and we were tired, so we went for a walk. And it was like, you know, where they have real heat and humidity. And we walked by this old stone church, and there was a guy out there mowing the lawn at night to beat the heat. So we started talking to him. Come to find out, he was the pastor of the church. And he sat there and debated with us whether or not the Bible was actually true. That was many years ago. That's happening now. As I mentioned before, the president of the Southern Baptist, he was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, I believe 2 years ago, said that churches are supposed to be advocates for homosexuality and transgenderism. I have a suggestion for him. Get a Bible. Satan has so infiltrated our society that it is getting into our churches and we're afraid to just stand for the truth. Whatever the world believes, a year down the road, the church is going to start buying into it. It's going to start buying into it. Now look, what people believe is what people believe. But how in the world can someone who says they're a pastor believe that nonsense? And then they mask it, and I'm getting a little off kilter here, but I'll get back on the track. I know where the train's going. Because, well, Jesus just loves people, and so should we. That's true. But we don't condone what they do. It's not loving to sit there and to condone an action which is harmful to a person. And because we have, we're getting all the stuff where they're chasing after our children. I'm tired of hearing that, Pastor Myers. Well, I'm tired of hearing about it in our society. By the way, I'm pretty sure we said that. I know I said it after the marriage thing was lost. Immediately. I said, watch it. They're coming for the children. And they are. They are. Because we're in a degenerate society. Now, people who call themselves pastors are starting to even buy in to abortion. I would hate, I'm afraid enough to stand before God for what I do now. I do the best I can, but I'm responsible. I would hate to stand before God and God say, excuse me? No, he won't say it. He'll probably, you were tried to find a moral way to condone abortion? What is going on with us? Well, I believe in a lady's right to choose. Yep, she can choose whether or not to get pregnant. Once she's chosen to get pregnant, choice has been made. That's right. Amen. Some pastor was going back and forth with somebody defending abortion from the Bible. You can't do that. It's not possible. You know why? We want to take what's going on out there and we want to run it through a false Bible narrative to make it okay. And I'm going to tell you where that came from. The enemy. We have allowed the enemy. When you start going down a road, you don't stop. And when we went down this road of like, we want to just reach people and we don't want to be offensive, we threw truth out the window. I don't want to just say, I want to have, I want to have this place full because I want to reach people. But if it means we have to do that by selling them a lie, I'd rather there be three people here. You're not helping anybody. You're not. Okay? We need the truth. And the enemy, we're going to see, gets at the truth, and that's what messes us up. Now, we have to be ready for when the battle begins. And part of that means you have to understand your enemy. You have to know the who of the battle. The more we understand the strategy of an enemy, the more we understand how it works, the more prepared we're going to be successful in defeating our enemy. We cannot just be ignorant. Christians for too long have just been willfully, joyfully ignorant. We don't have that choice. There's too much at stake. And if you're a parent, there's a whole lot more at stake. We're already, look, I would be, keep having children, but I'd be scared to death if I didn't believe the Bible. I know that this world isn't all there is. And I know that this world's soon coming to a climax. And so we have to be very, very careful. And we can keep our kids right. You have to do the best you can with that. The chapter, we're going to look at the main adversary of the Christian. He's not a mythological creature. Of course, we're talking about the devil. Now, when we think about the devil, there's two ways to think about him, you know. You can think about him from a you can underestimate him. Don't do that. Or you can overestimate him. He's too strong. You know, I know because I've read Revelation, he loses. He lost. So in essence, he's a loser. And so we know the end game. He is a defeated foe. Now, he can win some battles. He can win some skirmishes. He can take some captives. But to be honest with you, when it's all said and done, he's done. He's lost. But here's where that ties in for us. Let us make sure that we're not a casualty. Let us make sure that when the end comes, we're on the winning side. Now, if we're saved, we're on the winning side. I get it. But I don't want to go into heaven on a string of losses. Right? I want to go into heaven on a high. Okay. I don't want to do that either, all right? I want to go into heaven on a joyful route. I don't want to be high, all right? That's not what I'm looking at. All right, so let's look at the devil. The most obvious enemy we all face is the devil. He's the most recognizable depiction of him is, you know, this caricature of a red guy with, you know, a tail and the weird ears and the deal and the pitchfork and all that, and he smells like smoke. No, that actually, when he smells like smoke, that could be a deacon, right? But we think it's Satan. The world's view of Satan, if we're not careful, tends to make him more look like a fairy tale. Instead of a foe. By the way, I just saw. I get these emails. I don't know if these groups got my email, but you know, your pastor, they send you all kinds of stuff. Disney just put out a cartoon. I know the name of it. I wrote it down. It is Little Demon. It's a cartoon about a lady who has an affair with Satan, and has a child. And the child is a girl. She's the Antichrist. There might be a little truth to that. I'm not sure. And they're just trying to live normal lives. But it's evil. What they're doing is they're trying to make something that's legit and something that is a spiritual nature, and they're trying to make it a joke. Can I just tell you something? It's not a joke. Satan is not, he's not some weird, he is the enemy of God. He is after us. And he is evil behind all comprehension. I have heard some of our politicians say things, and I'm like, that is pure evil. It was a couple years ago, the governor of, it was either West Virginia or Virginia, I think it was Virginia. He was on a television. And this is back when the abortion, they wanted to kill the baby after the baby was born. If the abortion didn't go and the baby was alive, that they could still kill it. Anybody remember that? They asked him point blank on television about it. Are you for that? He goes, that's the mother's choice. That's evil. That's evil. Where was it? In Congress or one of them? They passed a law, Joseph, you remember? And that they could do something like that, and they all stood up and cheered. That's pure evil. That's pure evil. You can tell what a society's like by how they treat their most vulnerable. Our society is pathetic. And as evil as that is, that's child's play compared to Satan. It's child's play. He's beyond evil. A lot of the old pagans that we read about in the Old Testament, the pagan deities, their worship involved immorality and child sacrifice. One of them is either Baal or the Philistine one, the fish god. They would heat the arms up of the stone until it was sizzling hot, and then as they were all involved in immorality, they would throw a baby on there to fry to death. It used to be years ago, we would think about that and say, how evil. We're willing to kill babies now. But Satan is behind all that. He is evil beyond comprehension. So we need to understand that. And like with everything else in life, the Bible enlightens us to everything. That's why it's so important. You know, if our team's football season's starting soon, and I don't suggest they cheat, okay, only if you're behind. But, you know, if you know the enemy's playbook, you know what's coming, you know what to do, right? I mean, if I knew they're running the ball to the right, that's where I'm going to put my defenders. You know what's going on, you're better prepared. We have Satan. We have Satan's game plan. We have how he acts, what he does. It's all laid out there. You say, well, if that's the case, why does he keep doing the same thing? Because most Christians don't get it. God told us exactly what he's like. We already saw one of the weapons in an earlier lesson, which was temptation. And God even laid us in on, when he's tempting us, what he uses to tempt us, so we'll be ready. Does anybody remember? He uses our desires. What was your weakness? What's that thing that was weak, that was hard for you to give up, that you knew was wrong? That's where Satan's going to go after you. So we understand that, and he tells us everything that there is. He's complicated. His ultimate goal is to really, his ultimate goal is for us not to trust Christ. But once we did, now his goal is to destroy our Christian life and leave us in ruins, rendering us, to be real honest, useless for the Lord. And in fact, detrimental to the Lord. And so we need to understand that. He's an enemy of God and everything that's right. His goals for us are the complete opposite of what God desires for us. Look at John 10:10. I think that's in your book. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I like that last sentence in there a lot. When I don't think any of our classes are that. But when I had the singles class, we were abundant life class. I just like that phrase, like everything it stands for. But the first part of the verse gives us what he wants. Satan cometh not but for to steal. He's trying to take from us. You're a Christian, he doesn't want you to have everything that God offers to you. He's trying to take it from you. He wants everything that's good in your life to be messed up. He doesn't want you to experience it. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have. Jesus offers us. Whereas Satan's trying to take anything good that we would have, Jesus came to offer us good. Sad thing is, most of us don't take advantage of that. Satan's there to kill us. He wants to bring death. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Jesus brings life. Yep. And by the way, You could experience everything that this world says is success to the greatest degree. You can. And you could live to be 150 years old and have everything. Fact of the matter, let's go back to the before the flood days. You live to be 800 years old and have everything this world has to offer, but the second you die, if you die without Christ, it has no meaning. It is worthless. Eternity is far more important than what's on this earth. Satan tries to kill. Jesus gives us life. And then he comes to destroy. He's trying to demolish us. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. And it doesn't stop there. And that you might have it more abundantly. It's not just, well, you know, I'm saved. And I'm hanging on until I get to heaven and everything's going to be great. You know, things can be great now. Doesn't mean you don't go through problems. It doesn't mean there's not situations of life. But can I just tell you something? Going through them with Jesus is way better than anything else you're experiencing. And just the trajectory of your life, if you follow Jesus Christ, is better than anything you can experience on this earth. You can get every penny that this world has to offer. And without Jesus Christ, it's worthless. It's meaningless. You'll have no purpose. But with Jesus Christ, you can have a little and it's all good. So they're complete opposites. Now, what does the Bible tell us about Satan? I knew you were going to ask. Let me give you a couple thoughts. Ready? Some of these are things we've referenced in the past. His main doctrine has always been the same. The Bible teaches us good doctrine. Doctrine just means teachings that we are to believe and live by. You look in the Bible, God teaches it. That's what he expects us to live, and that's best for us. That's what we are to believe. That is what is supposed to mold and shape our life and its direction. But listen to this. Satan has a doctrine too. Okay? Now, I was going to say he doesn't have a Bible, but Anton LaVey wrote one. And probably helped. He probably helped write that. I don't know. But he has a doctrine. He has some things he wants us to believe. All this nonsense the world peddles, right? Follow your heart. Well, that's smart. The heart's deceitful, it lies to you, it's wicked. You know, all this nonsense. Satan's doctrine is not going to be Bible-based. Throughout the Bible, we see the doctrine that Satan peddles in the lives of those who buy into it and follow it. This is his main doctrine, and it's one that bursts all his other beliefs or what he pushes. The doctrine is presented the first time the devil is mentioned in the Bible, right? You know, they talk about interpreting the Bible, they talk about the law of first mention. Okay, this is Satan, and this is what he was doing, and it's true to this day. Not much has changed. Satan would be glad for you to follow this doctrine, because if we do, we're not going to follow God. Here it is, Genesis 3:5. For God doth know, talking to Eve, that in the day you eat thereof, you eat of the fruit of the tree and the fruit, which God said, don't do it. Okay, let's preference that. Then your eyes shall be opened. So what he's saying is, if you're obeying God, your eyes are closed. You have no clue what's going on. See how he lies? We'll get to that in a minute. And ye shall be as gods, little g. Knowing good and evil. Yeah. Knowing just means deciding. Here's what he said. After he got Eve all messed up, he said, listen, God knows that if you eat that tree, you're no longer going to be in the dark. You'll be your own God, and you can decide what's right and wrong for your life. That is the teaching of Satan. That is his doctrine. That's what he wants you to believe. If you boil it down to one thing, that would be it right there. He wants you to be the leader of your life, not God. And let me even say this, not even Satan. He doesn't mind. As long as you don't follow God, you follow what you want to do. That's the doctrine. By that I mean this, you decide what's right and wrong. You're the God of your life. By the way, a lot of people bought into that. A lot of Christians buy into that. I'm my own man. Okay, you're a God. Many years ago, probably about 30 years ago, some news show was, they were doing an interview with Anton LaVey's daughter. Anton LaVey He founded the Church of Satan. I think it was in San Francisco. Big shock there, right? He may not be there, but there's still all that influence. And his daughter was there, and he wrote the Satanic Bible. And they were talking to her about the Church of Satan, and she basically said that same thing. I don't remember exact wording, but when she said it, I'm like, that's the doctrine right there. Yeah. Satanism is about following your own way, your own path, being in control of your life. I've told this before, I think in soul winning training, Oscar, we went soul winning, we went to we knocked on a door, it was a Wiccan house, a Wicca, W-I-C-C-A, Wicca, is that Oscar? And it was his turn to talk, so I'm like, let him handle this one, man. They had a little sign right on the wall, it pointed down, and it said, which way, W-I-T-C-H, W-A-Y, which way, pointed down. And so Oscar was talking to him, so I thought, I'll take over here, I want to see what's going on. So I'm like, what do you guys believe? Just tell me what it is. And I'm interested. You know what? And I was. I want to hear what he said to say. You know what he said? We don't have any core set. We just believe that you need to make your own decisions. You need to determine your life. You need to follow your own path. And I'm like, he's not Satan. But if Satan were at that door talking to me in the form of a man, that's exactly what he would say. Look, can I just tell you something? That is a lot more palatable than telling you to you know, sacrifice kittens and have a pentagram on your ground with candles. That's a hard sell. All that weird demonic stuff, and I know some people like it, that's a really hard sell, okay? But you know what's not a hard sell? You do what you want. You decide what you want to do. Because when we decide what we want to do, apart from God, we're not going to decide the right things. We're not going to follow God. We're going to follow our own way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's quoted verbatim twice in the book of Proverbs twice. What is the definition of being your own God? That is it. You follow your will, not his. You obey your desires, not his word. You decide, not God. Satan doesn't want you to do all those weird things. Now, if you do it, I'm sure he uses that. Ouija boards and all that nonsense. I think there's demonism in all of that stuff. You're opening that portal. And you don't want to get into that. But I'm just telling you, that's the worst case scenario. For the most part, Satan's not going to mess with you a whole lot if you're just doing your own thing and you're not listening to God. That's just how it's going to work. This is a lie he peddled to Eve. And she completely bought into it. She looked at the fruit, saw it. It was good to eat. It was pleasant to the eyes. It made me wise. All things that she wanted. And guess what happened when she got in there? God got thrown out the window. Yep. And so it's what he does. Now, I don't think any of you are completely following the doctrine of Satan, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Amen? It's like when we taught the book of Proverbs, a fool. Fool is one who ignores and defies God's principles. I don't think anybody's a fool, but sometimes as Christians, we departmentalize our life. It's all little departments. It doesn't go all together for God. It's just this little area, this little area, this little area. And sometimes what we do is decide this area is off limits, God. This is my area. Now, I'll come to church, and I'll do some of these other things, but in this area right here, Steve's in charge. I'm in charge. I'm going to do what I want. See, you're not your own God, but in that area, you're your own God. That's what we do. And that's how come we can justify it, because I'm not completely ditching God. I mean, I go to church. I'm in the Christian school. I mean, I carry a Bible. I might even read it every now and then. But there are certain areas of my life, this is just what I've always wanted, and this is what I want to do, and nobody's going to stop me, and I'm going to do it. That area right there, you are now your own God. So that's where Satan gets us. You're not going to just completely ditch God, but I'm telling you what, if you do that in certain areas, you're trending. Right? You ever see the thing, what's trending up, what's trending down? Well, if you're doing that, you're trending down. And once you do it in one area, it's a lot easier to do it in the next area. Look, there's a reason I don't have hair. the things people who say they are Christians have come and tell me they're doing it, and the reason they give me for why they're doing it, and I just want to bang my head against the wall. But I'm like, it's probably much better if I were to bang their head against the wall. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. It's like, they didn't ask my advice. Okay. And it's like, because they give me some lame excuse, it's okay. It's like, where's God in all of this? I mean, did you ask God what he wanted? Okay. Did you search the scriptures? You know, years ago, we were visiting a church, and we got out in the foyer, and I'm just talking to people. I'm not even, just, I'm a visitor. But I guess I look like a staff member. And a guy comes up to me. Yeah, I'm a new Christian, man. I'm excited. Thank you for me. And he starts telling me about how he's a salesman. He has to lie to make a living. And I'm like, I don't go to this church. I'm not on the staff here. I don't know where we're going with this. But it's like he was justifying. Well, you know, you got to do it to get ahead. You know what I mean? It's like, not my place to say anything, right? But we do that. In certain areas, we say, it's okay. I love Jesus. It's just this one area, he can't touch it. Okay, don't think of that song. For those of you that are self. So you can tell to what extent you have bought into the lies of Satan by discerning how you make decisions. You know, how do you make decisions in your life? No, I mean, okay, you know, it's like, what's for dinner? Here's how you make a good decision. What do you like? Okay? That's not life-altering. But like, you know, are you going to marry? What am I going to do with my life? And this decision that could have grave consequences, what am I going to do? You might want to just pray and ask God for some help and then look in the Word of God and seek some guidance there. Yep. Don't just do what you want. If all of us could testify tonight, I guarantee all of us could come up and tell us about a decision we made sometime in our life that we thought was a good decision, and it wasn't a good decision. Yep. Right? Can we testify? I don't know about you, but I don't know everything. I shouldn't say that in front of my wife. That could be used against me, right? But I don't know everything. And so the more we get God in on what we're doing, the better it is. That's why our society fights authority. We do. You know, the little bumper sticker, I haven't seen it read, question authority. Well, why? All authority, is all authority bad? And I know there are some that's bad. Go to Canada, okay? I know but we question every single authority. Why did I do that for? It's like look, God's authority is good. Yep. And when we get in this mindset, no one's ever going to tell me what to do, you bring that into your Christianity. I said it, I don't know if I said it this Sunday or last, there's no such thing as a Christian rebel. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where God condones any type of rebellion. Unless it's rebellion against the world. Unless it's a rebellion against sin. God doesn't condone it. Now, our country was built on that kind of quasi-toughness. Like, you ain't telling me what to do, let's go. Now, if we got in a war, we probably couldn't get 10 people to join. But that's a different story. But but we think it is. And so now, like, oh, bless God, I know the Bible, I'm going to do church a different way. I'm not going to go like everybody else. Because it's probably not in the Bible. You go somewhere, it's like something brand new. I found something new. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. If you found it's new and you think it's God's way of doing things, it's not. So let's be very careful. Satan just wants you to do what you want to do. Whenever we decide with what's right and wrong without consulting the Word of God, we have bought into the lie and have become our own God. And let me just say this. How did that work out for Adam and Eve? Yep. Ladies, you say, well, that's not too bad. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a baby? It's painful. Yep. Thank Eve. Okay. They're like, look, they got kicked out of the garden. Yeah. They got booted. Sin entered this world, and death by sin. That's why we all need to be saved now. Because of what? We did our own thing. Now, we're done. I don't think anybody here is a Satan worshiper. But let's just be very, very careful. Let's be very careful When we have decisions to make, we don't make them lightly. Let's think them through. Because here's the sad thing. Not only do bad decisions and stepping out into a bad area affect you, they affect those you love. Yeah. They'll affect your marriage. They'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your children. And so you better get God in on it. Yeah. Okay? Let God lead you. Amen. And things will be better. Let's stand together. We'll pray in a minute. Thank you for being here. The wedding is Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we're going to pray in a minute. We'll dismiss. If you could help us out in about 10 minutes, everybody will come in, and we'll get started with the wedding rehearsal. So you want to hang around for a couple minutes, but in about 10 minutes, we're going to need this area just for those who are part of the wedding. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it really lays out just exactly who Satan is, what he believes, what he's trying to do, and what we can do about it. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us. All of us are going to be tempted, and unfortunately, many of us will, in some areas, in some ways, give into that temptation to make our own decisions. I pray you'd help us to be wise. Pray if we have made some decisions like that, that we would get back on board, and that we would just trust you wholly and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.